So, I want to thank the organizer for inviting me to this very, very nice conference. So far, I have learned a lot from all the talks before, especially things I didn't know before. So today, I will talk about quantum spin Hall ferromagnet superconductor Josephson array and the emergent Z2 gauge field. So there has been many talks about toric code model. So this talk will be how to realize toric code model in condensed matter system. So far, nobody in the talk has nobody in the conference has introduced the quantum spin Hall effect yet. So I guess I will give a very, very brief introduction to quantum spin Hall effect, including the theoretical model and an experimental realization, and also the most important property, the edge state, which I will going to use in my talk. And also, then I'm going to talk about the Josephson junction. The Josephson junction are made of a quantum spin Hall island and a ferromagnet island, a superconductor island. And first, I'm going to talk about the one-dimensional and two-dimensional Josephson array. And we are going to see that both situations can be mapped to a very natural Z2 gate field coupled with U1 matter field is kind of a Hamiltonian. And in one dimension, the Z2 gate field is kind of a trivial. But in two dimensions, Z2 gate field will give us a lot of interesting deconfinement and transition, things like that. OK, so first of all, what is a quantum spin Hall effect? And since I don't have much time, so I will just give a one sentence summary. Just a nucleus one quantum Hall for spin up, a nucleus minus one quantum Hall for spin down. It's a one sentence summary. And a one equation summary, just the spin current equals to the quantized conductance times the transverse electric field. And this JIZ means the spin Z transporting the I direction. And for instance, spin Z transporting the X direction equals to some conductance times with the electric field in the Y direction. And the special property of this equation is that this equation is like a time reversal invariant, because if we do time reversal transformation, electric field will be even. And the spin will change sign, and also the velocity will change sign, so the spin current is actually time reversal even. So the entire equation here is a time reversal even transport equation. So this actually means that because time reversal even, we don't really need to turn on any magnetic field to get the quantum spin Hall effect. I mean, not like the quantum Hall effect, we really need a magnetic field to do that. So we only need the topological band structure to give rise to this kind of a quantized spin current transport. And the second property of the quantum spin Hall effect, which is also the most important property to my talk, is that it has the helical edge state. Basically, I said that's it's a spin up particle from a nucleus one quantum Hall and a spin down particle from a nucleus minus one quantum Hall. So this means that the spin up particle will have a counterclockwise edge state, and the spin down particle will only propagating in the opposite direction, the clockwise propagation as the edge. So a natural question we can ask is whether the edge state is as stable as a quantum Hall system against disorder and impurity as the boundary. And turns out the quantum Hall fluid is very, very stable because it's completely chiral, so there's no way to backscatter a quantum Hall edge state, no matter what kind of disorder we put in. But for the quantum spin Hall edge state, it's unstable. It's very unstable if the time reversal symmetry is broken. For instance, suppose I turn on some transverse magnetic field. By transverse, I mean the field direction is perpendicular to the moment carried by the edge state. Then the magnetic field will induce some backscattering. Will induce some backscattering between the spin up and spin down helical edge state. Then it's going to gap out the edge state. And also, it's going to become very, very unstable when there is some magnetic impurity. For instance, local moment. Suppose a local magnetic moment exists as a boundary, then it's also going to induce some backscattering between the spin up channel and the spin down channel as the edge. Okay, turns out that suppose the time reversal symmetry is preserved, basically we just turn on the density the potential disorder instead of magnetic impurity. Then turns out that as long as time reversal symmetry is preserved, then the single particle backscattering is forbidden, because single particle backscattering will always require time reversal breaking process. So we only allow the two particle backscattering. And if you want to make sure that two particle backscattering is relevant as the edge state, then we have to tune the Lattinger parameter as the edge, the one-dimensional system, far away from the free Fermion limit. So we have to turn on some finite and large an interaction as a boundary to make sure the two particle backscattering is allowed. I mean, to make sure the two particle backscattering is relevant. So this means that the quantum spin hall S state is actually not totally stable, but still okay, as long as the interaction is not too strong. Yeah, okay, so how do we realize the quantum spin hall effect in a...
What's the first definition of spin current?
It breaks down, right? Once you have two particle backscattering, there is no point.
Right. Yeah, there will prevent source to that. So for the one disorder created two particle backscattering, it becomes relevant, and that's the edge current.
So, I mean, the spin current is not conserved at all, right?
Yeah. Okay, so how do we write down our simplest model which can realize the quantum spin hall effect? So turns out that so entire story of quantum spin hall basically are motivated by our simple model for quantum hall effect written down by Hodan in 1988. It's a very simple model on the honeycomb lattice. Basically, we have a spinless electron hopping on a honeycomb lattice. And it's a nearest neighbor hopping. It's a standard nearest neighbor hopping. And there's the next nearest neighbor hopping. But next nearest neighbor hopping has it's imaginary, has I here, so which means it has a direction. It breaks both time inversal and the reflection symmetry of the lattice. And the arrangement of the sign of the I is like this. We have the clockwise current loop on the lattice. So based on this kind of diagram, you can already see that it has some sign of quantum Hall effect because there's a current loop here. Right? Suppose we cut the lattice in this way, we already see some edge current flowing as the lattice. So the generalized quantum Hall model to quantum spin Hall is actually, again, very, very simple. We can just write down the spin fermion, but a spin fermion, and then the next neighbor hopping will be a spin dependent. For instance, the spin up particle will have the clockwise current loop, and for spin down particle we have a counterclockwise current loop. So by doing this, actually this model will actually give us the quantum spin hall effect. And it turns out that, although this model was first proposed in the graphene, turns out the graphene failed us. The graphene did not really give us a quantum spin hall effect, at least not already seen in a real experiment, mainly because the spin orbit coupling is too small. Turns out the quantum spin hall was actually realized in a totally different system, which is a mercury telluride quantum well. So this is a very beautiful picture, which I downloaded from internet. I didn't draw it. So mercury telluride is sandwiched here, and we can see there are already some quantum spin hall S state here. We have spin up, spin down, we are propagating two opposite directions. And in this system, turns out that the two spin up band will form a nucleus 1 quantum Hall state, and two spin down band will form a nucleus minus 1 quantum Hall state. So roughly, this is actually the same as the honeycomb lattice model, just a more complicated structure. And this actually was predicted by one of the person in Taylor there. So, and then later on, 2 years later, it was very successfully seen by experiments. Okay, so the final part of the introduction is a Jacobi bound state. And suppose we have a one-dimensional Dirac fermion, and we have a Dirac mass gap, Mx. And suppose the Mx has a domain wall, have positive sign here and negative sign here. And as a domain wall, there is a localized fermion zero mode localized domain wall. And the tail here is falls off exponentially. Okay. So, in one-dimensional system, whenever we see a domain wall of some Dirac mass gap of any kind, we should see some kind of a zero mode localized as a domain wall. Okay, so this is all for the introduction. So then I'm going to talk about something we played with the edge state of the edge state of the quantum spin hall effect. So first of all, we take the edge state of the quantum spin hall insulator. And we know that spin up, we are moving to the left, and spin down, we are moving to the right, have this kind of helical structure. And suppose I put a ferromagnet here, and I make sure that the magnetization of the ferromagnet is perpendicular to the moment carried by the edge state. Then the ferromagnet will induce a mass gap, will induce a backscattering mass gap as the edge state. And also, suppose I put another superconductor here on the other side, then superconductor will also induce a mass gap. It's a pairing gap. So then if we solve the Schrodinger equation directly for the edge state, we are going to see that as the domain wall, there's a Majorana zero mode. and the Majorana Zeeland model will roughly look like this. Because the ferromagnet already breaks conservation of spin up, spin down, so the Majorana model will be mixing spin up, spin down of the fermion. And also because the superconductor breaks the particle conservation, so the Majorana fermion will be mixing the particle and the hole. And also because the Majorana fermion is a real fermion instead of complex fermion, so the whole thing here should be real. So roughly the Majorana fermion zero mode will look like this. Okay, will look like this. So this was shown by Liang Fu and Charlie Ken last year. Okay, so suppose I make the junction bigger. Suppose I make a bigger junction. I consider two superconductor islands and a three ferromagnet island here. Then in this figure, there are in total four Majorana mode. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4 Majorana mode. And we know that the two Majorana mode can form a one fermion mode. We can define one fermion state with two Majorana fermion. For instance, let me define a fermion operator C equals to 1/2 gamma 1 plus I gamma 2. So basically means that this is a fermion mode instead of Majorana fermion mode. So this fermion mode can accommodate one fermion at zero energy. Suppose there's no tolerance between the Majorana mode. And also now we can use this fermion mode to define a qubit. Basically it's a fermion density. Just the two C dagger C's minus 1 equals to plus minus 1. And if I rewrite as Majorana fermion, then this term equals to I gamma 1 gamma 2. So basically we can use I gamma 1 gamma 2 to define a qubit in the system. Okay. So because around every superconductor island there is a fermion zero mode, so this actually means that on every superconductor island, the particle number can be either even or odd. There is no Cooper pairs, there's no Cooper pair energy cost to create one fermion at a superconductor island, which is very unusual because it's usually in the superconductor island, we can tunnel two particles in, which does not cost any energy. But suppose you want to tunnel one particle in, it's going to cost a Cooper pair breaking energy. Okay, so, but here, there's no Cooper pair breaking energy between the even and odd particle number on every superconductor island. Yeah, I will turn on charging energy later. So now let's assume there's no charging energy here. I will turn on it later. Okay. So because there's a Majorana zero mode at the edge of the superconductor, then this Majorana fermion zero mode can enable the single charge tunneling between superconductor islands. So usually we only allow the two particle tunneling, which is the Cooper pair tunneling between two superconductor islands in ordinary Joule's conjecture. But here we will allow the single charge tunneling between the superconductor island. Okay. So how do I describe this kind of a single charge tunneling? So first of all, we realize that there is a constraint between the qubit and the fermion number parity on every superconductor island. Since we only allow the single particle to tunnel between the superconductor island through the Majorana mode, so this actually means that once we tunnel one fermion from one superconductor to the other, we always have to flip the qubit. We always have to flip the qubit of the Majorana fermion. So this means that there's a constraint, which is that the qubit defined from the Majorana fermion equals to the fermion number parity on the superconductor island. Okay, so this is the constraint of our system. So now suppose I want to write down a tunneling term, a single charge tunneling term, which is consistent with this constraint, then simplest term is this. We have a product of these two gamma times a cosine of phi j over 2 minus phi j plus x over 2. So this is a single charge tunneling. And this term will always flip the qubit of these two qubit I defined there. Okay? And we can also compute this term directly by solving the Schrodinger equation, we can calculate this term directly. Okay, so what kind of physical process does this term correspond to? Turns out it corresponds to several different processes. Like, first of all, if we assume this qubit is filled, this fermion mode is filled, and this fermion mode is empty, then this term will hop the fermion mode from this fermion mode to this fermion mode. You hop one fermion from here to here. And suppose both fermion modes are empty, then this term will also describe process which is that we remove one Cooper pair from one superconductor island, and we fill these two fermion modes. So this term will describe both kind of processes. Okay. So we can see both processes will flip the qubit, will flip two qubits in the system. Okay, so we understand the basic junction, the simple junction. Then what I want to do now is I want to connect all those junctions into a lattice, into a lattice, into a one-dimensional lattice, for instance. And what I want to do is that, so on top of the tunneling term, I also want to turn on the charging energy. That's what Subir was mentioning. I want to turn on charging energy. So basically, this term describes the Cooper, I mean, the Cooling interaction between the charge density on the supercritical island. And N bar is the average filling or chemical potential of the system, which can be tuned very naturally by the gate voltage, on every supercritical island you can use. And there's always a constraint, as I mentioned. So in comparison, we can also recall what happens on ordinary Josephson junction. Here we only have in ordinary Josephson junction we just have 5j minus 5j plus x. So this term we always hop a two particle instead of a one particle. But here we hop one particle. Okay. So this Hamiltonian is written in terms of the Mariner fermion, and it is very well known that there is a standard mapping between the Mariner fermion and the Pauli matrices in one dimension. Okay, there's a very standard mapping. And the mapping goes like this. Suppose I define a superconductor is a site, of the one-dimensional lattice, and a ferromagnetic island is the link of the one-dimensional lattice. Then we can define a Pauli matrix sigma z equals the product of these two gamma. Okay, we define a Pauli matrix sigma z equals that. And also define Pauli matrix sigma x on the same link as the product of all the gammas to the left side of the link. So left side of the link. So after this kind of Pauli matrix mapping, then this model, this one-dimensional model, will look like this. Okay. So the constraint will be the product of the sigma x, two sigma x around every side, equals to minus 1 to nj, equals the fermion parity on the side. And also, the gamma-gamma term on the link will become a Pauli matrix sigma z. Okay, so if you are familiar with the Z2 gauge field and the lattice gauge field, then this actually becomes a standard form of the Z2 gauge field coupled with the U1 matter field in one dimension. Okay. However, in one dimension, the Z2 gauge field Z2 gauge field becomes very trivial in one dimension because in one dimension, the gauge field does not really have any magnetic flux. In three dimension, the magnetic field is a vector. In two dimension, magnetic field is a scalar. But in one dimension, there's no magnetic field. So basically, it means that Z2 gauge field in one dimension does not have any non-trivial dynamics. So we can always choose a gauge to erase the Z2 gauge field in one dimension. We can always choose a gauge to do that. And this is what we are going to do to solve this model. So we can define sigma z equals the product of the two tau z, another Pauli matrix, and tau z are defined on the site, defined on the superconductor island of the lattice, and then we can absorb tau z into phi over 2. We define another phase angle theta, because we absorb tau z into phi. Then now we can rewrite this Hamiltonian as this, okay, using the new variable theta. Okay, so this Hamiltonian describes a charge 1 rotor model instead of a charge 2 rotor model. Describe a standard charge 1 rotor model. So the phase diagram of the charge 1 rotor model is very simple. So there's a phase transition by tuning T2 over U, and there's a bunch of mod insulator lobe, and around every integer filling, there's a mod insulator lobe. Okay. And there's a superfluid phase here. So it doesn't matter. just periodic boundary condition. Yeah. Sorry? Oh, I see what I mean. Well, I guess
it's like a background electric field.
I thought the way you define the Mariner fermion is probably a bit open.
You have to define to the edge, actually.
You can define the periodic also, but
then
depends.
And how do I define a non-local product?
This is like the icing mold. There's no.
Okay.
There'll be one.
In spite of what Paul said, this is like the icing mold.
There'll be one global degree of freedom, and depending on the odd or even number of electrons,
yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah,
no, but the question is the product of the signals around the loop is gauge invariant.
Yeah, that I understand.
So that you cannot fix.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that I understand. Okay, thank you for mentioning that. So this is a mod insulator based around every integer filling. So again, let's recall what happened for the ordinary charge 2 rotor model or the ordinary Josephson junction, then turns out that there's a mod insulator phase around every even filling. So basically, the Mott insulator lobes are doubled in our case compared with the ordinary Josephson junction. Okay, so it's the standard thing. And also, when the filling is integer, when the filling is integer, there's a costly solids transition between the superfluid and the Mott insulator phase. And because the costly solids, because of one dimension, we can calculate everything exactly. I mean, we can calculate everything very easily. For instance, suppose we want to calculate the correlation function between the fermion operator, between the electron operator, then we should represent the fermion operator in terms of the new variables we define. Turns out the representation is very nice. It's just going to be a standard fermionization formalism for the one-dimensional boson system. So fermion electron will be like this. Then we can calculate the correlation function as well as this, and the critical K will be 1/4, which can be calculated very easily. Okay, so one-dimensional system is kind of easy because the one-dimensional Z2 gate field does not really have much dynamics. But now we want to talk about two-dimension. But then the lattice structure will be more complicated. So basically here, the blue squares are still superconductor island, and the red rectangle are the ferromagnetic island, and the dashed line is the quantum spin hole island, the quantum spin hole island. So this means that we use the quantum spin hole edge to hinge four superconductor islands together. And this means that around every superconductor island, there are four Majorana fermions. There are four Majorana fermions around every superconductor island. Okay. Right. We can also make a very huge quantum spin. I mean, make a very huge quantum spin insulator and dig some holes in it.
Okay.
Use the hole to connect it. Yeah, that's some details. Okay. So this imagine can be done. Okay. So around every single island, there are four Majorana modes, and now the constraint will be like the product of four Majorana fermions equals to -1 to nj, and nj is still the filling on every single island. And also the tunneling term is also similar. It's just still 2 gamma times phi over 2 minus phi over 2. And then we can do the same kind of mapping. We can do the same kind of mapping and map all the gamma to the Pauli matrices. And then the end of the mapping is going to be like this. So this kind of constraint will become a standard Z2 gate constraint. Just a product of 4 sigma x on these four links equals to -1 to nj will be this kind of constraint. And then again, this term becomes this standard form of the Z2 gate field coupled with the U1 matter field. Okay. And the Z2 gate field has now a non-trivial gauge dynamics in two dimensions. And now this is a simplified lattice form. So basically the blue circles are the superconductor island, and the ferromagnetic island here is the link of the lattice. And the dashed line denotes the dual lattice. The dual lattice, which will be, I mean, I will use the dual lattice when I talk about the dual formalism of the Z2 gate field later. Okay, so what's special about the Z2 gate field coupled with the U1 matter field theory? So first of all, we notice that suppose we want to create a 2-pi flux of the phi. So 2-pi flux means the HC over 2E flux of the ordinary superconductor. It's going to always be bound with the Vison, and the Vison simply means that the product of sigma z around a placket equals -1, the placket of the -1 product of the sigma z. Okay, so basically the 2-pi flux or HC over 2E flux will always be bound with the Vison. However, the Vison number, the local Vison number is, will commute with Hamiltonian. Because the Vison number will commute with Hamiltonian, also commute with the constraint. So which means that Vison in this system is completely static. We cannot move the Vison around in our system. Vison is completely static. Okay. So 2-pi voltage bounded to Vison, and the Vison becomes completely static. This implies that in our system, we can only proliferate 4-pi voltage quantumly. I mean, suppose we want to drive any phase transition with the vortices, we have to use the 4-pi vortex, which is HC over E vortex, instead of HC over 2E vortex. So this implies that suppose we tune the ratio of U over T2, tune the ratio U over T2 here, and we drive a transition between the superfluid to the insulator transition. But superfluid just means the developer phase coherence between different superconductor islands. Then this transition will be driven by the 4-pi vortex or HC over E vortex proliferation instead of 2-pi vortex. And in this kind of phase transition, suppose we calculate the correlation function of the Cooper pair operator, then the Cooper pair operator will have a very large anomalous dimension. Okay. And we can actually calculate, I mean, eta equals 1.47. So this is a very large anomalous dimension. Basically, this transition, I mean, basically in terms of half of psi, in terms of half of Cooper pair, it's a 3D icing transition. Sorry, it's a 3XY transition. And then the Cooper pair is a tensor as a 3DXY transition. Then there are a lot of numerical work calculating all the anomalous dimension of the tensor field at 3DXY, at 3DON critical point. You can just use a number there. And use a number of a tensor field of the, as the 3DXY transition. Doing a lot of epsilon expansion, all kinds of work calculating people did. And actually, this kind of transition is also very similar to, I mean, in condensed matter system, there's some transition between a non-collinear spiral spin order to a L2-spin liquid phase, and this is the analog of that. So there we also have some L2-spin liquid going, some L2-D confinement phase going on, and also there, the spin operator will gain a very large anomalous dimension as the transition.
What with the insulator as a deconfined insulator?
Yeah, deconfined insulator. I will. Okay, so in the insulator, the phase variables are disordered, and we don't have a phase stiffness anymore. So we can integrate out the phase, integrate of the boson phase, and we get a ring chain term, a standard ring chain term, the D2 gate field. Okay, and the ring chain is the product of these four Pauli matrices. And turns out, so this is almost a standard D2 gate field. Okay, this is almost standard D2 gate field. But then there's no string tension term. Okay, there's no string tension term. So in ordinary Z2 gate field, there is a string tension term. And a string tension term, I mean, the main effect of a string tension term is to hop the Vison. It's to hop the Vison. For instance, if I use the Z2 string tension term to hit this link, it's going to move the Vison from here to here. And if I use the string tension to hit this link, it's going to move the Vison from here to here. So basically, it's going to move the Vison around. Okay. And also, if we tune H over K large enough, it's well known that there's a confined-deconfined transition of the D2 gate field. Depending on whether the charge feeling is even or odd or not, I mean, depending on the charge feeling is even or odd, this universality cause of the transition can be either 3D icing or 3DXY, depending on whether the charge is even or odd on the lattice. And the phase transition can be described, the two phases can be distinguished with the Wilson loop. So in the large K, in the large H phase, which is the confined phase, Wilson loop falls off as area law, and in the deconfined phase, Wilson loop falls off as a parameter law. So in our case, the string tension, a sigma x, a single sigma x, will be a very, very non-local product of a Mariner fermion. It's a string. It's a very long string in the lattice. So therefore, it's forbidden. We cannot turn on very non-local term in our system. So which means that in our system, we don't have sigma x. We don't have a string tension term. So we are always in a Z2 deconfined phase. So the Hamiltonian of the Z2 gate field will be a ring product of sigma z plus this kind of constraint term. Okay. So this actually becomes a standard toric code model. And we don't have any other term in our Hamiltonian so far, just the toric code model. Okay. However, so here I want to make some simple comment on the finite temperature. But the finite temperature toric code model will just cross over to the trivial disordered phase. And also, in the superfluid phase, at a finite temperature, the Coxley solid transition will still be driven by a 2-pi vortex instead of 4-pi vortex. Because a thermal fluctuation will generate a lot of 2-pi vortex and a lot of Vison in the finite temperature. Even though the quantum fluctuation will only induce a 4-pi vortex condensation. But here, in finite temperature, will induce a 2-pi vortex proliferation. Right, it's strictly local. Right. Well, but I will turn on some term which can move two Vison together later. Okay, so it's. Okay, let me modify the model. Let me modify the system. Okay, let's imagine we make the superconductor island more rectangular. Let me compress the whole system in the y direction. We compress the whole system in the y direction. And when the superconductor island is thinner and thinner, then we can imagine we induce some tunneling between this Mariner fermion and this Mariner fermion. We induce some tunneling there. And we write down some term, which is something like this, J gamma, basically it's 3-4 means this one. Okay, so now suppose I do the standard mapping to the Pauli matrices. We do the mapping to the Pauli matrices. then this term will become something quite special in the D2 gate field. So we have still have a Z2 ring exchange term, but now this term will become a sigma x times sigma x. Instead of single sigma, we have a product of two sigma x. So because, as I mentioned, sigma x will hop a bison in the lattice, then the product of sigma x will hop two bisons together, or will hop a pair of bison, on the lattice. Okay. So now suppose I do the standard duality, we go to a dual picture, then this term will become a ring exchange term in the dual picture. And now the both tau x and tau z are defined on the dual lattices, defined on the dual lattice. And this term becomes a ring product. But this term is not a D2 gate field because the tau x, tau z are defined on the sides, of the two dimensional dual lattice. Okay. So this model turns out to be exactly self dual. On the duality, K and J will be switched. Because this model is exactly self-dual, it means that if there is a transition when we tune K over J, if there is a transition, the transition has to occur at J equals K. Okay, so it turns out this is what happens. Then at J equals K, there's a transition, and there's a lot of numerical evidence suggests that this transition is a first-order transition. I think the reason is because we cannot do this model to any ordinary genes for Landau theory. So basically, it's a first-order transition. And we can also calculate the Wilson loop, and also calculate Wilson loop across the transition. And we can see that in the large J phase, the Wilson loop still falls up according to an area law, depending on how large the loop is. But in the small J phase, the Wilson loop will fall off as a corner law. It's not a parameter law. Basically, just a count. And suppose I draw a Wilson loop on the lattice, Wilson loop will fall off according to how many corners the Wilson loop has. That's not count how long the Wilson loop is. Okay. Basically, at least in the lowest order perturbation theory, this is what happens. Only depend on the corner number of the Wilson loop. Okay, so in the phase diagram, now we have two tuning parameter. One is the T2 over U, and the other is J over U. So when J is very small, then there's a superfluid to insulator transition driven by 4-pi vortex proliferation, 4-pi vortex condensation. And then there's another first order transition between the toric cold phase and the Wison and the pair Wison condensed phase. I mean, I don't have a word to describe it, the pair Wison condensed phase. However, in the pair Wison condensed phase, it is still deconfined. Suppose I just want to create a Z2 chart and pull them apart, far apart, there's no string tension, still no string tension between them. So that's a still confined phase. So the only way to describe, and so the only way to distinguish the difference is a Wilson loop. Okay, and this only works for integer filling. For non-integer filling, phase diagram is more complicated, which I'm not going to show. Okay, so now let me introduce a new representation of all those gamma, all those Mariner fermions. So now let me define Pauli matrices on every superconductor island. So before, actually, I defined the Pauli matrices on the link. So now let me define the Pauli matrices on every superconductor island. So let me define the mu x, mu x, mu y, mu z, the Pauli matrices. Mu x equals to product of these two Mariner fermions, and mu y equals to product of these two Mariner fermions, and mu z equals to product of these two. So we can see that, so we can check the algebra. We can use the Mariner fermion algebra to check that these three Pauli matrices satisfy ordinary Pauli matrices algebra. Okay. And then the Z2 gate field ring exchange term, is a product of 4 sigma z. It will equal to the product of all the 8 gammas, 8 Mariner fermion. It will also equal to the product of mu x, mu y, sort of that. Okay. So this actually means that suppose I rewrite our model, and I turn on all these Mariner fermion tunneling, in our system, basically just means that we make the superconductor island very small, make it very, very small, so when, until the Mariner fermion tunneling becomes magnificent and becomes significant, then then our model will look like this. So this part is mu x mu y term. Basically, this part is reduced to Shelgang-Wentz model with topological order in 2003. And this model also, is also equivalent to the Torrey code model. And also this part are three transverse magnetic field, Okay. So this implies that, by turning on those environments from tunneling, there's a three-dimensional phase diagram we can study. You can study the JX, JY, JZ over K, three-dimensional phase diagram. And so far, we can understand several axes. We can understand several axes of the phase diagram. For instance, suppose we only have JX, we don't have JY, JZ, then basically it's a Z2 deconfined transition, also things like that. And suppose we only have JZ, then it becomes a first-order transition mapped to the ring chain model I just mentioned, the first-order transition. But the three-dimensional phase diagram is still unknown, so it's worth studying. In future.
So the very first model began with just the square with no crosses, correct? That's the JX equals JY equals JZ equals 0?
Yes.
That's the model with just the square diamond.
Right, basically that's the model without all of the tunnel. That's the model without all of the tunnel.
All of them?
Yeah, so without all of them. But suppose we turn on these tunnels.
Which is JX, JY, and JZ in that picture?
So this is JX, this is JY, this is JZ.
Okay.
But because the constraint, then this one has to equal with this one. So this one has to equal with this one because the constraint. So summary. So the Mariner boundary state assisted Josephson junction enables a single charge tunneling, so different from ordinary Josephson junction. And the Josephson lattice we just described can realize deconfined phase of the V2 gate field. Or the Torrey code model very, very naturally. Okay, so and in future, certainly it's more interesting to use a similar construction to realize all kinds of weird models like honeycomb lattice model and honeycomb lattice Kitaev model, or the star lattice chiral spin Lipkin model, all kinds of model based on Torrey matrices. Okay, thank you for your attention.
The talk is open to question. Yeah?
Maybe a naive question. How do you know that you have exactly four zero modes? So when you go to the two-dimensional case,
yeah,
right? Because well, in principle,
four zero modes basically is based on construction. We make the lattice that way. Then as long as the superconductor and filament island are large enough, you can calculate it. You can calculate the zero load around every superconductor island. You can see there are four.
So the superconductor in the island is assumed to be very small, so that, if I naively, let's say, topologically, just take a superconductor surrounded by a ferromagnet, right? So how many modes would I get?
Then there will not be any real one. Because you have to connect it with the corner spin for edge.
Exactly. So the fact that they cut the ferromagnet at four points, that's the thing that will give me.
Yeah, four modes. Yeah, exactly. And basically the size of the island has to be bigger. Basically, by saying the Mariner form is localized somewhere, there's a localization limit, right? Basically, the size of the island has to be bigger than that. Then you have zero mode. Otherwise, you have tunneling.
But you will also have a lot of low-lying modes, which are not Mariner, but just underrated bounce states.
No. Oh, yes. That's possible. That's possible. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other question?
How about the ferromagnetic island? How thick does it have to be? I mean, if you make it very thin, then of course all this goes away, right?
Basically the ferromagnet cannot be too thin, though. Basically, so we still want to have the tunneling. Right? You want to have a tunneling from some island. So you're too thin, the tunneling is too weak.
Yeah.
So you want to have this one is calculated based on some microscopic parameters, so all the confinement and all the and penetrating depth, so all kind of calculations, all kind of parameters went into the calculation.
You presume you don't want any decoherence inside the ferromagnet.
Right. I don't want that. So.
Okay, so if there is no other question, let's take this.